Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wednesday, September 3rd, 2014. And I'm talking today about publishing. I have some experience in this area. And I thought some of you who may have an interest in writing or publishing a book or anything like that may find this helpful. But even if you're not, I bet you might find a sneak peek behind the scenes interesting and revealing. I bet you're going to learn some things you didn't know about book publishing. So let me dive right into this. I thought of this idea yesterday when I did that Q&A session. And then tomorrow we'll go back to having guests. We've got the author of The $100 Startup tomorrow, so that's going to be interesting. But I thought I'd do a little episode on publishing. I want to start off with the subject of sales. There are people who think, I'll write a book and then I will retire on the royalties. And these people are deluded. These people are living in la-la land. There is no such thing. That is not going to happen. Even people in the Liberty Movement, whom I thought kind of knew how this all worked, will come up to me and say, boy, that's great. You must have sold millions of copies. Well, let me tell you something. Nobody sells millions of copies. I wrote an article for LouRockwell.com some years ago called precisely that. Nobody sells millions of copies. Now, there are exceptions, and I'm talking about nonfiction. Fiction, of course people sell millions of copies. Americans don't read nonfiction. That's just a fact. They do not read nonfiction. So to get them to buy nonfiction in any quantity whatsoever is a feat of, Herculean proportions, let's say. They just don't buy them. And that is borne out by the statistics. Now, if you have been on Oprah, and I say that not facetiously, if you've been on Oprah and she recommends your book, then it'll sell millions of copies. If you have a syndicated radio program and you can promote it to an audience of millions every day or a television program, then yes, you can sell millions of copies. But we're talking about a handful of people. The average author has absolutely zero chance whatsoever of selling even the tiniest fraction of that. As a matter of fact, my publisher, representative from my publisher, was at a book expo not long ago and was talking to the head of, I think it was Doubleday. Houghton Mifflin. And that year, Houghton Mifflin had released 3,000 different books. Okay, 3,000 titles. Do you know how many of those 3,000 titles sold more than 2,000 copies? Only 200. So of their 3,000 books that they published, 2,800 of them sold fewer than 2,000 copies. That's the reality of nonfiction publishing. So the idea that I'm selling millions of copies is absolutely preposterous. Of course I'm not. Nobody. If you can sell 50,000 copies of a book, of a nonfiction book, it is considered a miracle. And other authors treat you like other presidential candidates treated Ron Paul. Hey, what's your secret? You must have some secret to selling all these books in the same way that Ron Paul must have had some secret to raising all that money. I mean, that's how they treat you. It's a miracle that you've sold 50,000 copies. So I'll even give you some of my own statistics. I think people assume that I'm like some multi-millionaire because I've sold millions of copies. No, of course I haven't sold millions of copies. As I say, no one has. If you can sell 50,000 of a nonfiction title, you are doing beyond great because most nonfiction books crash and burn. Remember, there are nearly 200,000 books published every year. They can't all sell millions of copies. And you've got to distinguish your book from the pack somehow, even to get it to sell adequately. Well, my biggest selling book is The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History. That book's been out for just about 10 years now, and it's sold somewhere in the vicinity of approaching 200,000 copies. Now, I think people assume that must have sold 3 or 4 million. As I say, no book sells 3 or 4 million. No nonfiction book. That does not happen. But 200,000 is considered miraculous. It is considered miraculous. Okay, that was a New York Times bestseller. I had a New York Times bestseller called Meltdown in 2009 on the financial crisis. That must have sold millions of copies, right? That book has, at this point, sold probably in the low 60,000s copies. And those are my two New York Times bestsellers. Those are the numbers that we're talking about in nonfiction. Now, let's think, even Ron Paul, with The Revolution, A Manifesto, he hit number one, which is impossible. Impossible to hit number one on the New York Times bestseller list. He hit number one for 1 week, and he was on the list for a number of other weeks at other places in the list. But he hit number one, and the grand total sales of that book, I believe, are in the vicinity of under a quarter million. And that's, we're talking Ron Paul, for heaven's sake. So don't be disappointed when your book does not sell millions of copies. Nobody sells millions of copies. But that's not the only reason you write a book, and I'll get to that later. So you have a book and you want to publish it. Where should you go? Now, in my case, I've had the good fortune of actually being approached by publishers with book ideas, and most of the time I turn them down. They're not quite right for me, or my audience wouldn't like them, or I'd hate doing it, or whatever. But the idea for The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History was given to me by a publisher. That's a brilliant idea. What a brilliant marketing conceit that is. The Politically Incorrect Guide to X. Great. Absolutely great. So, of course, that was easy. But typically, you have to approach the publisher yourself with your idea. So, first we'll talk about regular publishers, and then we'll talk about self-publishing. Because I've done both, or I will have done both by the end of this month, with my new book, Real Descent, coming out at the end of the month. So I've talked to, let's say, I mean, I've told you yesterday, I have dealt with big publishers. I've published with Random House. I've published with Basic Books. I've published with big academic publishers like Columbia University Press. If you're dealing with a big, popular publisher that writes, that publishes books for the general public, for general audiences, you're going to need a literary agent for them even to look at your manuscript. And typically they want to look at maybe a chapter, but you don't even need that. What you need is a book essay. You need, and my publisher supplied me with an example of these, of what publishers are looking for. It's an overview of what the book is going to sound like. Describe the book for us. Don't just tell us what topics will be in it. Give us a feel for this book. What kind of a book is it going to be? What kind of an audience is it going to appeal to? What kind of an audience do you have? Do you have an audience? Do you have a mailing list? Do you have a blog? Do you have an article archive? Do you have a YouTube channel? Do you have a Facebook page with a lot of people on it? Do you have a Twitter? Whatever. They're going to want to know things like that. What other books are on this subject that are out there, and how does your book compete with them? Why don't people just read some other book? These are the sorts of things you have to be prepared to answer. And a good literary agent will guide you through this project if you have any questions. To get a literary agent, I mean, I really think it's a matter of just doing a Google search, honest to goodness. Just do a Google search and you'll find some places where you can approach them and they'll see if they want to take you on. Now, in my case, I was approached by a literary agent who saw that I had written a number of pretty good selling books from a nonfiction point of view anyway. And he approached me. He said, I'm sure you already have representation, but just in case you don't, here are my services. So I took him on. And these days I don't use him a lot because at this point I like the publisher that I'm with and I don't really need to shop my books around. And I haven't written a book in 3.5 years. Real Descent is the first one I've done. I will probably use him, though, for a book I have coming out that won't probably be coming out, like, say, late 2015, early 2016, that would not be a good fit for my current publisher at all. And I think it's going to do very well. And I would like somebody to shop it around. An agent can shop your book around for you to different publishers and say, here's a proposal from such and such author. What do you bid on it? In other words, what advance would you pay for this book? And then you give another opportunity to another publisher and you say, look, this publisher's offering $50,000 as an advance. Do you want to put in a bid? And then maybe they'll say $70,000. Now, don't expect this to happen to you with your first book. But if you have a New York Times bestseller, you may get offers like this. Now, the publishing industry is in a funk. It's in a depression and has been since the financial crisis. And it's partly electronic books, which you would think are going to multiply revenues, but not always. But also, big bookstore chains have closed. And that was one of the ways the Politically Incorrect Guide series sold very well, was that Borders really liked it and would put it in a prominent place in the store. and people would just pick it up as an impulse purchase. Now that's gone. So book publishers are scrambling, so advances are not as high as they used to be. But you can still squeeze out a reasonable advance. Now, what do I mean by an advance? An advance is not just a check that the publisher sends you because you're writing a book. Yes, it is that, but there's more to it. An advance is an advance on royalties. That is to say, let's suppose your book earns $30,000 over the course of its life in royalties, and they've paid you an advance of $10,000. Well, that means that they now owe you about the balance of $20,000. So the advance is an amount that they expect the royalty payments to exceed. They're giving you a chunk of it in advance. But let's suppose they give you an advance of $100,000 and your book brings in only $70,000. Do you have to hand back $30,000? Nope, you do not. Hillary Clinton is the queen of this. You just keep that big advance payment, and that was an entrepreneurial error on the part of the publisher. As a matter of fact, there was a bidding war that broke out for my book, 33 Questions About American History You're Not Supposed to Ask, between Random House and Penguin. And it just went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And of course, as a bidding war goes back and forth, the amount of the advance goes up and up and up. Now, there's no way you can oversee something like that. That's what an agent does for you. So if you want a big publisher even to look at your book, you have to go through an agent. Otherwise, they would be flooded with manuscripts and they wouldn't know what to do with them. So the idea is that the agent sifts out the good proposals from the bad. He won't go to a publisher if he thinks it's not a good proposal or not a good book, because then that hurts his brand with the publishers. They look at him and say, this guy is not a reliable transmitter of good manuscripts and good book ideas to us. Now, there are costs and benefits to going with a big publisher, or even not a big publisher, just a traditional publisher. The benefits, of course, the key one would be, well, a couple of them. Number one is prestige. If your book is published with Random House, it's taken more seriously than if it's published by Joe's Publishing House. And certainly if you're in the market for an academic book, a book published by Columbia University Press means a lot more than a book published, again, by either Joe's Publishing House or, the University of some, Hoboken Press, that sort of thing. That doesn't hold as much prestige. So prestige is one. The key thing is the marketing arm that the publisher has. The publisher can get out there and publicize your book. It has connections in radio and TV, possibly. Not all of them do, but some of them do. Now, at the same time, not every publisher is going to promote every single book. So Doubleday, for example, picks out a small selection of books that they think are going to be big, and they pour all their marketing budget into those. And if you weren't chosen as one of those, then you're basically left hanging out to dry. You got to promote yourself. And that's hard to do. 200,000 books you're competing with every year. You got to promote yourself just with your blog. Very, very hard. And I would dare say it's impossible, unless you have a fluke on your hands, to get to bestseller status without some media assistance. I just don't see how it can be done. So the marketing arm is a key advantage to going with a traditional publisher. Now, it so happens that Regnery Publishing, which has published several of my books, they put all their resources behind every single title. That's why it's good to go with them. Their advances aren't as high as other publishers, but that doesn't matter because they're going to sell you a boatload of books. Now, it hasn't always worked out. I've had a very good relationship with Regnery. I had a very bad relationship with them over my book Rollback, which I thought was packaged all wrong. It's the best thing I've ever written, and it just fell down the memory hole. It's a shame. It was marketed as a book for tea partiers, which is ridiculous. Tea partiers are going to go out and buy Dick Morris's inane piece of nothingness. They're not going to buy my book. So they might as well just pitch it to my audience. So that didn't quite work. But by and large, Regnery has been very, very good to me. And the reason they're able to pour all their resources behind every single title is that they only publish 2 or 2.5 dozen books per year. And they push each one very hard. Now, one thing, though, even Regnery is not a miracle worker. It's not enough to say, I have a book, put me on your TV show. What producers are looking for is a hook. They're looking for a topical hook from your book. It's not enough to say, hey, I have a new book and it's really interesting, so have me on. They want to know, what does it have to do with current events? How can you hook it in to current events? So even if you've written a book on the origins of Social Security, and you think, well, that's the 1930s, maybe they won't be interested in that. If Social Security reform is in the news, they'll have you on, even though your book might not be expressly on Social Security reform. There's got to be some kind of news hook if you want to get media, if you expect to get media. What's your news hook? How can you turn it into something that would be of interest to people right now? And that's hard to do with some books. Now, with my book Meltdown on the financial crisis, well, everybody was talking about the financial crisis. That is the news hook. You know, no problem. Now, again, I can get on some shows, but at this point, I'm a known quantity, so the neocons are not going to have me on. Okay, I was on Sean Hannity in 2004, and that's it. Fair enough. I have other audiences, other ways to reach people. I would also advise you, make sure you pinpoint your audience. Do not try to appeal to the whole world. Who's this book for? Who's the intended audience of this book? Oh, everybody. Well, every author says that, and it's delusional. The whole world is not your audience. That's not right. The whole world is not your audience. You have an intended audience, and you have to figure out who that is. And I can tell you this from experience. Kevin Gutzman and I wrote a book called Who Killed the Constitution? And the idea of our book was that we were going to attack both the left and the right. And that's fine. You should attack both the left and the right. There's nothing wrong with that. But figure out the way you want to pitch it. I mean, if what we were writing a book that was really based on the idea of original understanding of the Constitution. But instead, I think we tried to pitch it as, oh, this book goes after everybody, instead of saying, which it does, but instead of saying the guiding principle of this book is the original understanding of the Constitution. That pinpoints your audience, people who care about the original understanding of the Constitution. But to say this book is for everybody means it's for nobody. Whereas Meltdown had a really awkward subtitle. It was long and clunky, and the publisher insisted on it. And the reason is that their marketing department said, we have to let the free market people know this is the book for them. This is not just a generic overview of the financial crisis. They need to know this is the book for them. And look, it worked, right? It worked. So the news hook and identifying your audience. These are both very important features of getting media, getting attention, and getting sales. Now, what are the drawbacks to going with a traditional publisher? Well, of course, money. Because the publisher is going to need money to pay for the marketing people and to pay for the cover design and to do all those things. Now, on your own, you'd have to pay for your own cover design. So, in a way, that's a wash. But consider that a typical bookstore chain is already going to insist on a 50% discount on your book. A lot of people think that that authors are earning like 80% of the book title. Where would the publisher and the bookstore get their money from then? No, right off the bat, at least 50% off for bookstores. And for book clubs, it's more like 70% off, right off the top. So what do you earn with a traditional publisher? I'm going to tell you what the standard breakdown is. The standard breakdown goes like this. Now, I'm leaving out academic publishers. Academic publishers will pay you considerably less than what I'm about to tell you. I'm talking about the typical trade publisher. They will pay according to the following schedule. For the hardcover, for the first 5,000 copies, 10% of the hardcover price goes to the author. Between 5,001 and 10,000 copies, 12.5% goes to the author. And from 10,001 to infinity, 15% goes to the author. That's it. Sometimes there will be a clause in the contract that says, oh, and by the way, if we have to discount the book deeper than 47%, then for every percentage point above 47 that we have to discount it, you lose a half percentage point or something like that. Now, that's a sneaky clause there because they know they're going to be discounting at 50%. So to say, well, if we happen to discount it more than 47, we know you're going to discount it more than 47. They're going to try to cut back your royalties still further. So once you have some heft as an author and you have a record of being able to get copies sold, you can get that clause struck. If they try to stick that in, you can get that clause. Your agent can strike that clause and the publisher basically will go along with it. Now, in terms of the paperback edition, when your book comes out in paperback, you will now earn a flat 7.5% of the paperback price on all copies. So you're not going to be retiring anytime soon. But remember, you don't write a book just for the money. You darn well shouldn't, because there is no money. There's very, very little money in book publishing. You know, once in a while, some jerk, you know, I mean, I have a lot of people who support me, and I appreciate that, but I get these jerks who know nothing about me at all, other than I'm an author, who will say, that Woods just wants to make money off the Liberty Movement by selling books. Okay, nobody makes money selling books. I already told you that. That does not happen. That does not happen. Okay, I've made some money, but it was a fluke. And when you compare it to the number of hours I poured into writing these things, it's like 10 cents an hour. I think I'm entitled to 10 cents an hour, for heaven's sake. And by the way, I say to the commies in the Liberty Movement who hate people who earn money, take your hammer and sickle someplace else. There's nothing wrong with people earning money when they're providing a service people want, right? I mean, I shouldn't have to tell my audience this. I know you guys know it already. But, oh, yeah, yeah, he's doing this to earn the money. Yeah, okay. I'm sure I couldn't think of any way to be more remunerative in my labor than to write books. You write them, though, also because they open doors for you. You'll be more likely to be invited as a speaker to an event if you're an author. Hey, this is the author of so-and-so. That makes you a semi-celebrity in the eyes of some people. You wrote a book, and you get speaking invitations. The speaking invitations typically will carry some honorarium. You can earn a little money. You can promote your book. You can sell your book. Your publisher will give you 50% off on your purchases of the book. And so you can, when you sell the books in person, you don't earn royalties on those copies, but you earn the difference between the whatever price you're selling it at and the 50% discount. Now, Regnery, I think, overprices some of their hardcovers, so that means I get not a very good deal, because when I get 50% off, it's 50% off a pretty high price, unfortunately. But nevertheless, as I say, there have been many advantages to being with Regnery. So the book opens doors for you. The book can, once people get it, the book can be used to link people to your site. You can make some offer to them toward the end. I'll send you my free report, my free PDF or whatever, and bring them to you that way. So it can be synergistic. It can build, everything can build upon itself. You've got social media. The book helps to promote your social media. The social media helps to promote the book. You've got to use absolutely every outlet you have. You should make a good promo video for your book. No more than 3 minutes, absolute max. Try to keep it to 2 minutes. Make it as professional looking as you can. Do not use the webcam built into your computer. Find a friend who knows what he's doing with camcorders and set it up. Get the lighting right, because otherwise it'll just look like, well, here's another guy who wrote a book in his basement. We have a lot of those. Make a good promo video, and preferably, if you can, link to a special page just dedicated to your book. I'm going to be doing that for example, for a number of my books, we had a landing page where people could go and get a free chapter of the book. So that would whet their appetite. They'd get a free chapter, and then at the end of the free chapter, there'd be a page saying, I hope you enjoyed this book. Here's how you can order it from Amazon. And so I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to be giving away a free excerpt of my book over at a site that I've got ready to launch on the launch date. And the benefit of this is that it focuses people's attention. If you just direct them to your website, well, where are they going to go to dig out your new book? A page just about the book. The page should have the cover of the book, a juicy quotation, and then you scroll down, you see a video about it, you see testimonials from the most prominent people you can get, you have order links, you have, if there's an audiobook, I'm going to be having a link to how people can get the audiobook for free, actually, of my book. All this stuff will be on that page. And you have your social media linked there. But the key thing is, you give them a free chapter or a free excerpt, they have to sign up for your newsletter to get it. And this way, you build up an email list. Now, I use my email list basically to keep people posted about my show. I send them out, these are the show episodes I did this week. This is the progress I'm making on the Ron Paul homeschool courses that I'm devising for ronpaulhomeschool.com. If I have a new book, I let them know about it. I mean, it's not obtrusive. I send it out once a week. If you haven't subscribed to it, it's at tomwoods.com. I do that. And also, it's a way, once I have time to start blogging some more, it's to draw people back to my site. They click on a blog post they find interesting in my newsletter, brings them back to my site, make sure they don't come to my site once and then never visit me again. Because I'm, you know, I like to think I'm putting out some pretty good content on a regular basis. I want to draw them back. So use the landing page for your book for all these purposes. Get onto whatever podcast you can to talk about your book. Write articles on the general subject and link to your book within the article. Try to submit these articles to the highest ranking sites you can that would be sympathetic to your point of view. These would be some pieces of advice that I would have for you. Now, in terms of self-publishing, and a publisher will by and large set up landing pages for you. But if you're doing it yourself, as I am with Real Descent, I'm just curious to see what would happen if I published a book on my own. Now that I've built up enough of an audience, enough of a Facebook audience, a Twitter audience, YouTube, my newsletter, general word of mouth, I have friends who have heavily trafficked sites who can promote my book and stuff like that. I'm just curious to see how would I do on my own without the marketing arm, without getting on Glenn Beck, without any of that stuff. How could I do? So I've designed my own landing page for the book. And if you're ever interested in doing that without having to hire an expensive designer and stuff like that, but to have an effective landing page that converts, in other words, that converts visitors into buyers or into subscribers to your newsletter, then I recommend a site called leadpages.net. And I should be getting an affiliate kickback from them. I didn't think to arrange that before doing this, but leadpages.net is what I use, and it helps you to design simple landing pages for your purposes, and it's not terribly expensive. So anyway, that is my basic overview of my experiences anyway in publishing. I mean, I guess I haven't told you about all the ins and outs of every particular book and what the pros and cons were and what lessons I learned from each one, but there are some lessons you have here about identifying your audience, finding a news hook, stuff like that. So if you want to publish a book, don't expect to live off the royalties. Do it because you feel compelled to do it, because you see the potential that book publishing has for opening doors for you in your career or in the liberty movement or whatever it may be. Maybe you write a small ebook that you give away for free that draws people to your mailing list or something. Whatever it is, best of luck, and I hope some of this information and advice was helpful to you. If this show is helpful to you, then please consider becoming a supporting listener, which you can do at supportinglisteners.com and get transcripts of all the interviews, a bunch of nice discounts at Liberty Retailers, plus you guys will all get the Kindle edition of my forthcoming book just as part of being a supporting listener. Plus, those of you at the upper ends of the support ladder will also get my Ron Paul Homeschool courses. The Western Civ course is 180 audio and video files. The government course is 90 audio and video files. You get all kinds of fun stuff. We'll be updating that supporting listener program very soon, but you can get in on the ground floor right now at supportinglisteners.com. Thanks for the support, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Tom Woods Show.